before you drink. What you get isn't always what you think.
Beers of Alaska, beer on the last frontier. Beers of Alaska, learn about them here.
Well, don't settle for the first, for it might be the worst.
Hello, Merry Christmas, and welcome to this month's Drinking on the Last Frontier. I'm your host, Bill Howell, here on KDLL 91.9, listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula. Thanks, as always, to Recess Duty for playing us in with our theme song. This is our last show of 2018, so let's get going with beer news. Alaska Beer Week is coming up fast. The 2019 celebration of all things beer kicks off on Friday, January 11th, and runs through Sunday, January 20th. 2019 also marks the 25th year of the Great Alaska Beer and Barley Wine Festival, the biggest beer festival in the state. We'll have much more about Alaska Beer Week later in the program when we interview Barb Miller of Midnight Sun Brewing, one of the driving forces behind it. Skagway Brewing Company has announced a major relocation and expansion. Its new three-story home on 4th Avenue will allow a 200% increase in seating and a huge expansion in its brewing capacity. Later in the show, we'll be getting all the details from owner Mike Healy. It appears that the Alaska brewing industry weathered the November 30th earthquake without any major losses. 49th State Brewing in Anchorage is probably the worst hit, losing a lot of glassware and expensive bottles of spirits from its bar area. A few other breweries in the impacted area were forced to close temporarily, either due to power outages or the inability of staff to make it to work. Here on the peninsula, Cooper Landing Brewing reported some issues with its well. Bottle shops like La Bodega and Brown Jug in Anchorage also suffered some significant stock losses due to breakage. Deschutes Brewery in Oregon has laid off 10% of its workforce, saying business hasn't met expectation over the past 2 years. The precise number of workers affected was not known. The cuts come after the 30-year-old Bend Brewery pulled back on plans to build a brewing facility in Roanoke, Virginia. Quote, "We have made the hard decision to reduce staff across sales, marketing, and operations by 10% to match our sales volume," said Michael Lalonde, Deschutes Brewery CEO and president. "This decision was extremely difficult to make, but necessary for the brewery given current market conditions and trends," end quote. Deschutes is ranked 10th in craft brewing and 20th in overall beer sales volume, according to the Brewers Association. Deschutes brewed nearly 400,000 barrels in 2017. 49th State Brewing is in the planning stages of opening a production facility just below its 3rd Avenue location in Anchorage. The new property formerly provided warehouse space and offices for an oil field company. The location is west of the railroad station. Given its long-standing inability to meet demand, even with two brew pubs, such a production facility has been part of the brewery's long-term plans for quite some time. The open-concept pub and brewery will open in stages during 2019. Quote, "The goal is to have production for year-round beers prior to summer. The brewery will come first, then the tasting room will follow in early fall of 2019," says David McCarthy, one of the owners of 49th State. After 5 seasons as the brewer for the Healy operation, Vince LaRochelle will become the head brewer at the new production facility. Devin Wagner, formerly of Kenai River Brewing, has been working in 49th State's Anchorage Brewery and will continue there as head brewer. David Short, formerly the head brewer at the Anchorage location, will become the brewmaster for all brewing operations, while a new head brewer will be hired for the Healy Brew Pub. Odd Man Rush Brewing in Eagle River is expanding its operations. In late November, the brewery received two new 30-barrel fermenters. These tanks hadn't yet been secured to the floor when the recent quake hit, and I'm told the way they danced around was quite impressive. Last month, I reported how breweries around the country were joining Sierra Nevada Brewing Company in producing Resilience IPA, with all proceeds going to help the victims of the California wildfires. Each brewery is following the same recipe for the beer. Previously, I reported that Arcos Brewery and Bear Paw River Brewing had announced their participation. I can now add the following Alaska breweries to that list: Hoodoo Brewing, Grace Ridge Brewing, Kenai River Brewing, Anchorage Brewing, and 49th State Anchorage. These breweries join more than 1,400 breweries worldwide in participating in this charitable project. The Brewers Association has updated its definition of what constitutes a craft brewer. Previously, to be considered craft, a brewery had to pass three criteria: small, independent, and traditional. The new definition still has three elements, but now they are small, independent, and be a brewer. The new third element is defined as having a federal brewing license and actually producing beer. The Brewers Association stated that, quote, "The traditional pillar became outdated because craft brewers seeking new sources of revenue to keep their breweries at capacity and address market conditions have created new products that do not fit the traditional definition of beer. The original craft brewer definition was created in 2006 after the creation of the Brewers Association. The definition has now been amended four times, 2007, 2010, 2014, and 2018, to keep up with innovation and brewing trends. That's it for beer news this month. Coming up next, we'll have an interview with Barb Miller of Midnight Sun Brewing, all about Alaska Beer Week. This is Drinking on the Last Frontier. I'm your host, Bill Howell, on KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna.
KDLL Public Radio provides the news, interviews, features, and entertainment programming you trust from around the world and right here at home. Do you value local, responsible reporting or diverse music brought to you by your friends and neighbors? How about in-depth shows that are unique to your community? Then please support KDLL. We can't continue to bring you the local programming you enjoy without your support. Please visit kdll.org and click the donate button today.
Hello and welcome back to Drinking on the Last Frontier. I'm your host, Bill Howell, here on KDLL 91.9 FM Kenai Soldotna. For our first interview this month, we're very fortunate to have Barb Miller of Midnight Sun Brewing and the Alaska Beer Week. Hey, Barb, how are you?
Great. Thanks, Bill.
So why don't you give folks who might not be familiar with it a brief overview of Alaska Beer Week and the history behind it and what goes on?
Okay, sure. I had been to Seattle Beer Week and San Francisco Beer Week and thought that the concept was amazing. There was just so much enthusiasm for craft beer in those areas during that time frame, especially a lot of focus on it. So I thought it would be good to bring that back to Alaska instead of creating an Anchorage Beer Week, because most beer weeks around the nation are city beer weeks. Because of our logistics, I decided to call it Alaska Beer Week to include, you know, communities throughout the state. We have a growing number of breweries, as you know, and so it was important that I wanted everybody to feel like they could be involved, and so that's worked out really well. It's 10 days, like most beer weeks. It starts on a Friday and goes through the second Sunday. They usually have an anchor event, so I chose the Great Alaska Beer and Barley Wine Festival to be our anchor event, and it's a good time to kind of just infuse energy and dollars really into the economy, you know, in the middle of January in Alaska. So the hotel rates are cheaper, the flights are a little bit cheaper. So it just made more sense to wrap this whole week around that event, which is always the third weekend in January. So the dates for 2019 are Friday, January 11th through Sunday, January 20th. 10 days. There will be events happening throughout the state, as I said, because we have so many breweries. And it's not just breweries that create events. It's any venue, you know, bar, restaurant that wants to appreciate craft beer and focus on craft beer for that week and call in their patrons with some special things. And so distributors are on board. They know the dates. And they usually try to get special beers up here to showcase. So that's exciting. And then even small breweries that don't normally distribute outside of their own spaces will try to get involved in some other things. And so you'll see them at the festival, which you may not, you know, be able to travel outside Anchorage or outside your own area. But the Great Alaska Beer and Barley Wine Festival is a great place to get to taste, you know, the beers that are happening throughout Alaska and also meet the brewers.
Yeah, I would second that. I mean, given the size of the state and how spread out and how hard it is to reach some people, it's far and away the easiest place to go and taste the biggest selection of beers. I don't know of any other place where you can walk in and, on the one hand, taste something from Kodiak Island Brewing and right next to it be tasting something from Haynes Brewing, considering how far apart those two breweries are.
Yeah, so it's a really exciting time. And for us brewers, it's fun because it's kind of like an annual reunion. The Brewers Guild of Alaska is very supportive of this whole week and the event. And that's when they have their annual meeting. So on the Saturday, before the second day of the Beer and Barley Wine Festival, we all meet at 9 a.m., which almost kills half of us. But we meet at 9 a.m. to discuss all the things that are going on, you know, with the guild and with the industry. We have a lot of things going on right now legislatively, which we can get into in a bit. I just want to talk about the Beer Fest again. GABBF is celebrating its 25th anniversary this year, so that's exciting. AK Beer Week is doing its 9th year, so there's going to be lots of stuff happening. GABBF, the organizers, Aurora Productions, is making some changes this year for the first time in a lot of years, and so that part's fun. We have a whole different band lineup. So we have two different bands for each session. So Friday, the session is 6 to 10. Saturday, there's two sessions, the connoisseur session, 2 to 5, and then the evening session, 6 to 10. The connoisseur session is $10 more. The other tickets are $45. The connoisseur session is $55. But the extra $10 goes directly to the Brewers Guild of Alaska as a fundraiser. And right now, we have lots of, you know, legislative things that are happening. Plus, going into the session, it looks like we need to hire a lobbyist. So there's lots of reasons, good reasons, to support the Brewers Guild for all the stuff that they do during the year. There's, you know, smaller festivals in communities throughout the state all during the year. A lot of them are repetitive events. So it's exciting to see that even in February, you can go to Soldotna, right, Bill?
And that's right.
Do the Frozen River Fest. Yeah, and it's well supported by breweries throughout the state, but especially the Soldotna Kenai breweries. And I think Kenai River usually does a beer dinner on the Friday before. And so there's lots of stuff happening throughout, you know, in Fairbanks, Seward, Soldotna, like I mentioned. Homer has their own things going on as well. Anchorage always has a lot of stuff happening. Talkeetna. So no matter where you are in the state, there's a way to find good beer.
So if people wanted to get more information about Alaska Beer Week, you've got a pretty good website and calendar going, right?
Yes, it's akbeerweek.com. And this year what I'm doing is I pointed the events calendar instead of being on my page. It's going to anchoragenightout.com. Because Jamie Miller, who runs that, has a way to do the phone apps. So far, I've only posted the three sessions for the GABBF. But as I get more information, you know, this is always a hard time to solicit. I mean, I have solicited, but to get information back, a lot of stuff will start happening on the website right before the week, because right now everybody's busy with the holidays. So once we get past New Year's, I'll have breweries and bars and restaurants that will be more synced up to polishing their event information and getting it to me so that I can post it. You can grab the app at Anchorage Night Out. I think the app is called My Night Out, and it's through iTunes. It functions on both Android and iOS devices, so it's really handy. You could pull up, you know, I have it pointed so it goes right to the AK Beer Week profile, and then from there, you can look at everything that's happening in Anchorage, but you can also just look at what's going to be happening for AK Beer Week.
Sounds great. Let's shift gears for a moment, talk a little politics. I know you were one of the real driving forces in, I don't know how many years you've got invested in it now, 5 or 6, in the attempt to revise Title IV that eventually ended up as SB 76. So would you want to say a few words about that? Maybe make some predictions for this legislative session?
I don't know if I can predict anything after the last one, but I was one of the stakeholders that was involved in the original, you know, stakeholders group that the Alaska Alcoholic Beverage Control Board created back in 2012. So it's been at least 6 years. I was on the licensing subcommittee representing breweries, and we had different representatives for each of the different title or licenses in Title IV. And we worked diligently, you know, for many years, and we're still working on this thing and trying to fine tune it. But what we understood going into it is that this thing, because it's such a huge rewrite, it's now well over 100 pages, 113 or something, that it's a beast and it's hard to pick it apart and pull out pieces to pass through, you know, on their own. So that's why the industry, the whole liquor industry, is still trying to work together. There's, you know, compromises that have been made, but for the most part, we've worked positively together to make this thing happen. It did pass the Senate last session, but then it got hung up in a House committee.
I think it was Labor and Finance, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it was Labor and Finance, and they tacked on some additional things for manufacturers, which would include breweries, wineries, which also include cideries, and distilleries. And so we have all these crazy limits on what we can do right now, and they wanted to pretty much reduce what we can serve on site, serve and sell on site, by a third. And so that's when the Brewers Guild pulled out, the Distillers Guild pulled out, and we said, no, now we cannot support this. So if it had stayed the way it passed through the Senate, I think it would be on its way to being, you know, becoming effective and being law. But that was a big holdup, because as manufacturers, we've already given up so many things and compromised on so many issues that that was a no-go for us. Now it's back to what it used to be. What, you know, passed through the Senate is the starting point. And so that's what everybody's discussing again. And we're all gearing up for this next session, which starts in January. And hopefully we can get to a place where, you know, we can give it back to Senator Maticki and he can get it back to the Senate. And then we'll have to deal with the House and see where they all stand right now too. But a lobbyist is important for all of us. And so we are working with the Distillers Guild, because as manufacturers, our statutes, our re-rates are all parallel at this point. So we want to work together with them and have a stronger voice.
Yeah, I just saw in the news recently, I think Anchorage Daily News was reporting that the ABC board is considering not renewing the state fair liquor license because it doesn't meet the letter of the law, something SB 76 would have fixed. But since the legislature didn't pass it, ABC is claiming our hands are tied. We have to shut down the fair till you guys get your act together. So that'll be interesting to see if that lights any fire under anybody in the legislature.
I think they fall under that recreational license, which got a lot of heat, and that one's totally being rewritten. So it just depends on the type of license that they have. If they had a standard, you know, like a beverage dispensary license.
Yeah, they have a recreation license.
Yeah. So if they had a BDL, they wouldn't have to be going through this, but those are expensive, especially for, you know, something like the fair that is only open for what, August, September. Yeah. So it doesn't make sense for them to have to fork out the $300,000 for a BDL. But a lot of licenses are being scrutinized right now, and ABC is trying to figure out what to do. We have a new director, fairly new director, I think within the last 2 years, Erica McConnell. And so she's trying to figure out what to do with these kind of exception licenses that were passed under, you know, previous directors. And now she's having to deal with them and trying to create some fairness and fair play. But yeah, there's a lot of, that's just one example. You know, there's a lot of little quirky things that are out there that ABC's having to deal with right now.
So before we wrap it up, any comment on the proposed Muni tax there up in Anchorage? Doesn't affect everybody down here on the peninsula unless you're like me and you buy a lot of beer in Anchorage whenever you go up to Anchorage. Any comments, thoughts on that?
Well, it does affect like Kenai River because they distribute, and so does Cassox distributes in Anchorage, and so it would affect those two breweries. There's been a lot of discussion, you know, like Brewers Guild of Alaska has a government affairs committee. I've been sitting in on those meetings as well, and discussion is, you know, at 5%, do breweries, you know, eat that? Can we absorb that? Because, you know, like there's a manufacturer's margins, then there's the wholesale margins, and then there's the retail margins. The manufacturer margins are a lot less than the other margins. So who would be eating the 5%, or do we pass it on to the consumer? And how does that affect our sales? There's lots of questions, and we don't have answers at this point. We're really trying to fight it. Sarah Oates, she was working at the ABC for years, and now she is president of Alaska Char, which is great because she has a lot of knowledge and understanding. You know, she was in our subcommittee meetings. She has a lot of understanding of what we're all going through. So she always has added a good perspective to our discussions. Basically, she's just calling out the muni saying, you know, they raised our taxes in 2002, and those dollars go to the general fund. You can't earmark them. So they go to the general fund, and they were not used for what they were intended to be used for. Right now we're talking about homelessness, but you know, that's also mental health as well as substance abuse. And so, and it's not just alcohol, it's different substances. So why do you pick on alcohol?
Yeah, like I said, in principle, I've always disliked this idea of divide and conquer, where we're going to single out individual things for taxation, whether it's alcohol or cigarettes. I think that anything other than we're taxing it because we want the money and we think we can get away with it, any other explanation doesn't pass the smell test to me. But that's my cynical approach on taxation. Anyway, well, hey, Barb, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. We sure do appreciate it.
Thank you.
Look forward to checking out Alaska Beer Week and the Alaska Beer and Barley Wine Festival.
Yeah, I hope to see you in Anchorage.
All righty. This is Bill Howell, Drinking on the Last Frontier, KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai, Soldotna. We'll be right back.
Every year is a good year for jazz. Whether it's the Duke or Ella or someone newer to the scene, you'll find all your jazz favorites on A Good Year for Jazz with your host, Nathan. Each week, travel the calendar back to 1945, 59, or even 2015 to hear what was happening in the world of jazz. I'll meet you right here Monday nights 7 to 9 on KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai, Soldotna.
Welcome back to Drinking on the Last Frontier. I'm your host, Bill Howell, here on KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai, Soldotna. For our next segment, we'll do the beer year in review. 2018 was a pretty busy year for beer news. As we got ready to head into 2019, I thought it would be appropriate to take a look back at some of the biggest events that took place on the Alaska beer scene. As always, the year started with Alaska Beer Week and the Great Alaska Beer and Barley Wine Festival in Anchorage. At that festival, Cassox Brewery of Nikiski took gold in the barley wine competition for the third year in a row, with its Buffalo Head Barley Wine. At its January 23rd meeting, the Alcohol Beverage Control Board voted 3-1 to forbid distillery tasting rooms from serving mixed drinks and approved its now notorious No Fun in Brewery Tap Rooms policy, setting the stage for several months of contentious legal maneuvers. February saw another very successful Frozen River Fest, plus the start of beer production at the new Matanuska Brewing Company in Palmer. In March, Cassox Brewery announced that it was up for sale with a $1.4 million asking price. The company that owns Humpy's Great Alaskan Ale House, Flat Top Pizza and Pool, and Bootlegger's 8-Star Saloon filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. Prospector's Historic Pizzeria and Ale House, just outside Denali National Park, was named one of the Great American Beer Bars of 2018 by the readers of craftbeer.com. Devil's Club Brewing Company opened for business in the 102-year-old Palace Theater in Juneau. April brought two pieces of news from Juneau. Barnaby Brewing was damaged in a fire and forced to close, while SB 76, the proposed revision to Alaska's alcohol licensing rules, was wending its way through the various Senate committees and seemed well on its way to eventual approval. Anchorage's Midnight Sun Brewing Company announced that it had partnered with Willowaw Social, the lively community gathering space located in the heart of downtown, to provide food service and beers to the popular venue. In May, the fortunes of SB 76 took a major turn for the worst. It was withdrawn from consideration by its sponsor, Senate Majority Leader Peter Michicki, due to an amendment inserted in the House Labor and Finance Committee, which would have reduced the amount of beer brewery tasting rooms were allowed to serve from 36 to 24 ounces per day. This amendment was inserted at the behest of bar owners seeking to stifle what they saw as competition from brewery taprooms. Matanuska Brewing Company held its grand opening on May 16th in Palmer, and the Brewers Guild of Alaska announced that its executive director, Ryan McInster, would be stepping down at the end of the month. In June, King Street Brewing in Anchorage moved into its brand new brewing facility at the corner of 91st Avenue and King Street. This was also the month when Kenai Peninsula Borough Mayor Charlie Pierce floated a trial balloon in the Borough Assembly of enacting excise taxes on tobacco, alcohol, and cannabis sales. These so-called sin taxes were touted as a way to help close the $5 million shortfall in the borough's FY19 budget. After mounting public backlash, Mayor Pierce issued a clarification, which effectively scrapped the proposal, at least for this year. On July 14th, Turnagain Brewing Company of Anchorage opened its doors in the former home of King Street Brewing. Barnaby Brewing's Rausch Beer placed second in the smoked beer category of the U.S. Open Beer Championships. The Rausch Beer was ironically the only beer that survived the fire which closed the brewery in April. New brewery Bowden Street Brewing Company opened for business at 325 Bowden Street in Ketchikan. August was a very busy month for beer. The 8th annual Kenai Peninsula Beer Festival, held on Saturday, August 11th, was another great success. For the 7th year in a row, Kenai River Brewing received the People's Choice Award for Best Brewery, while first-time attendee Bleeding Heart Brewery of Palmer won the People's Choice for Best Beer with its Grounds for Divorce Coffee Porter. On Sunday, August 12th, the Brewery to Bathroom .5K was held in Soldotna. Over 200 racers braved the grueling 0.5K course from Kenai River Brewing Company to the Soldotna Creek Public Bathrooms and back, raising at the final tally $4,246 for charity. Matt Barnaby, owner of the fire-damaged Barnaby Brewing, announced that the brewery had secured a new home on Shattuck Way in downtown Juneau. Barnaby hopes to reopen by early 2019. Bear Paw River Brewing Company released a recreation of the iconic Valley Trash Imperial Blonde Ale, formerly brewed by the defunct but not forgotten Great Bear Brewing of Wasilla. In September, Nels Barnett, the owner of Cooper Landing Brewing, announced that the company had begun construction of a new brewing facility in Cooper Landing with a target completion date of 2020. King Street Brewing in Anchorage opened the rooftop deck at its new brewery, offering spectacular views of the Anchorage skyline. Kenai River Brewing Company won the Outstanding Business in Tourism Award at this year's Industry Appreciation Day. Come October, Baleen Brewing Company in Ketchikan received final approvals from the Alcohol Beverage Control Board and opened for business. Craft Beer and Brewing Magazine selected Anchorage Brewing Company's A Deal with the Devil Double Oak 2017 Barley Wine as one of the best 18 beers of 2018. The Moose's Tooth in Anchorage was named as one of the top 5 pizzerias in the country by TripAdvisor. November saw the rebranding of the Anchorage Ale House and the Eagle River Ale House as Matanuska Brewing Company Brew Pubs. Alaskan Brewing also held a grand opening celebration for its expanded tasting room. The celebration also marked the 30th anniversary of one of its most renowned beers, Smoked Porter. The last day of this month also saw the 7.0 magnitude earthquake near Anchorage, which disrupted operations at several breweries in that city and the Matsu Valley, but caused no major damage to any of them. In retrospect, 2018 has been a pretty good year for breweries in Alaska. New breweries have opened, established breweries have expanded or announced expansions, attempts by governmental bodies to hamstring the industry have been, at least to some extent, thwarted, and the overall trajectory of craft beer in both this state and the rest of the country continues to be upward. What will 2019 bring? I guess we'll see soon enough, but I suspect it will continue to be very interesting times. Up next, we'll have an interview with Mike Healy, owner of Skagway Brewing Company. This is Drinking on the Last Frontier. I'm your host, Bill Howell, here on KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna.